Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From the most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, it's America's only source for news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Jordan Klepper.
To talk about tonight, Lewis Black takes on the Cybertruck, RFK Jr. Look, Black's here. RFK Jr. has something he just can't get out of his head, and Kristi Noem's hopes of becoming VP have been taken out to the gravel pit and shot. Plus, Matt Damon joins us tonight. Not a bad show, huh? But first, let's catch up on all the latest in the presidential race with another installment of Indecision 2024. Let's kick things off with the huge trial that threatens to destroy a politician's career. Not Trump's trial. He'll get off scot-free. No. I'm talking about public opinion versus Kristi Noem, South Dakota governor and big fan of the last 2 minutes of Old Yeller. The mainstream liberal media has been coming at her for days just because her new memoir has a little story in it about executing a puppy. So now she's turning to her base on conservative media to find some support. But it turns out that even they are having a hard time with this.
What happens if you are debating Kamala Harris and she says, well, wait a second, You shot your dog?
I never tell anybody about personal conversations.
Did
with
the dog story
President
come up
Trump.
In a conversation with
I talk
Trump?
To President Trump all the time.
About the dog?
About a lot of things.
Governor, if you asked me a month ago who's at the top of the list to run with Donald Trump, I would have said your name. Mm-hmm. If you asked me that same question this morning, I don't even think you're on the list.
Oh! These people are harsh. You're not even on the list. Not on the VP list, not on the cabinet list, not even on Craig's list. I will say, for the past few years, I have been wondering how far is too far for the right-wing MAGA crowd. And now we know. It's shooting your dog in a gravel pit. That is not acceptable. Until Trump does it, then every Republican has to shoot their dog just to stay in the party. So, kudos, right-wing media, for putting your foot down against killing dogs. You can hold your head up high and go back to your regularly scheduled segment, Why Don't We Toss the Migrant Kids into the Grand Canyon? Check out this. It's a very compelling segment. Every Wednesday at 9. But not everyone in conservative media had their knives out for Kristi Noem. In the bowels of Newsmax, Eric Voling tried his best to throw her a lifeline.
Governor, I've also written a couple of books, and I know how the process works. You write some chapters. You don't write the whole book at once. You write a chapter or two. Mm-hmm. You send it to the editors, and they edit. They read it. They add. They subtract. And here's my question. The editor. Mm-hmm. The editor. Was she possibly a plant, a liberal plant?
A liberal plant editor, Eric. She wrote the book. She wrote it. You can tell conservatives don't really believe any of their conspiracy bullshit by how casually they try to fit one into any scandal. Just say your editor was a liberal plant, Christy. Maybe your dog was trying to rig the election. Maybe your dog was DEI. Is that something? I don't know. Just pick one. But believe it or not, Shooting Her Dog isn't the only scandal about Noam's book. There's also a story about when she met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, where she wrote, "I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un." Except she had to take that story out because she never actually met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. And she says the story was put in there by accident, and she took it out as soon as she found out, even though she wrote the book and recorded the audiobook. And if you're wondering, didn't she find that out when she recorded the audiobook? You're not the only one.
You said you, when you learned of it, you immediately took action. Mm-hmm. You recorded the whole book and the audiobook. Mm-hmm. You read this whole passage out loud. Why didn't you take it out then when you read the audiobook?
You know, I've traveled for years. I've been involved in policy for almost 30 years. And so I've gone all across the world. I've met with world leaders.
So you didn't when realize when you recorded the audiobook?
When it was brought to my attention, and it was, I asked the publisher if they would remove the name, and they did.
Okay, but you didn't answer my question. When you record, you posted pictures and video of yourself recording the audiobook. When you recorded your own audiobook, you didn't notice
this
passage?
I'm not going to discuss about my meetings with world leaders.
I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you about recording the audiobook.
Did you want to talk about something else today?
For God's sakes, can we talk about something else? I shot a dog once. Did you hear about that? Kim Jong-un is not someone you forget meeting. He's a madman. No one's ever like, yeah, I met Hitler. Oh, wait, Adolf Hitler? I was thinking of a different one. Greg Hitler from Tampa. That's who I was thinking of. Yeah. Look, I know we've been talking about this Christy Noam story for a few days in a row now, but she lied about meeting Kim Jong-un and she shot a puppy. I honestly can't think of a political story that could be crazy enough to push that out of the news cycle.
In a new report, Robert Kennedy opens up about health issues from a, quote, worm that got into my brain and ate a portion of it and then died.
What? I don't know what's worse, that RFK Jr. had a worm that was eating his brain, or that his brain is so poisoned it killed the worm. It's so wild that we've all been joking about how RFK Jr. must have brain worms, and then he actually has brain worms. It's like if the weird kid in class came back from the doctor with a note saying, actually, Kyle does have stage 2 turd face. Please let him get his affairs in order. Now, the Kennedy campaign is dismissing the notion that the dead worm in their candidate's brain could cause any cognitive problems. But the story actually came out because the New York Times found a 2012 deposition from Kennedy's divorce in which he argued that his earning power had diminished because, quote, I have cognitive problems, clearly. So I guess his argument now is, no, the worm didn't eat the president part of my brain, just the part that has to give my ex-wife money. And as if this story couldn't get any weirder, it turns out that Kennedy discovered the worm because he was getting tested for brain fog and memory loss. But doctors said it probably wasn't the worm that was causing the brain fog. It was more likely that he had severe mercury poisoning from eating too much fish. I mean, no wonder RFK cares so much about climate change. He's legally a thermometer. So how will this affect the race? Probably not much. I know the idealists out there would love to vote for a perfect candidate, but we live in the real world, okay? Does RFK Jr. have a worm in his brain? Sure. Trump's brain is just two possums and a squirrel. Biden's cerebrum is riddled with slugs, you know? Would it be nice to have a candidate whose head is full of all brain? Sure. And I'd love a puppy too, but Christy Noam shot it. Grow up. For more on the ongoing medical situation, we go live to the RFK Jr. campaign with our own Desi Lyon. Desi. Wow, Desi. Worms inside a presidential candidate's head is a terrifying story. What's the mood at the campaign?
Well, it's understandable why people are nervous. But as it turns out, brain worms are very common, healthy even. In fact, some might say society would be better if everyone had worms in their brains.
Wow, that sounds like something a worm would say.
No, Jordan, it's me, a human woman. I just think people shouldn't be so scared about embracing a symbiotic relationship with another life form, a beautiful parasitic life form. It's not like I'm asking you to surrender to us. Surrender to us.
Okay, all right, if you could hold, I'm genuinely concerned, Desi. This doesn't sound like you at all. Is it possible you have a brain worm?
What? Jordan? No. Of course not. I don't know why you would even say that. Why would you say that? I mean,
you're eating soil, Desi. You're eating, you are a worm.
Jordan, if you're suggesting that I was interviewing RFK Jr. and he tricked me into touching our eyeballs together so a bunch of his worms could funnel into my brain's left cortex, then you are way out of line. Way out of line. It was just a normal interview. It wasn't weird, okay? Although you know what is weird? Legs, am I right?
No. This is horrible. If you're in there, Desi, you have to fight the worms. Fight the worms!
Oh, my God. Jordan, stop being so paranoid. It's just me, Desi Lordick, or whatever. I'll tell you what. When I get back to New York, let's just sit down together, you know, and touch eyeballs.
No, absolutely not. Don't threaten me, worm. I won't tolerate that.
Oh, what are you going to do, fire me? Then you're going to have zero worms in late night. How's that going to look?
Uh-huh. So you admit it, you are a worm. So what's the end game here? You build an army of worm people, brainwash everyone, and then get RFK elected?
Oh, my God. No, Jordan, that's insane. I mean, yes, we're building an army of worm people to take over the Earth, but we're not voting for RFK. That dude's crazy. No way. I got worms for brains, not shit for brains, okay?
Fair enough. Worms as Atlantic, everybody. We come back, Louis Black will be joining us. Don't go away.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. When a news story falls through the cracks, Louis Black catches it for a segment we call Back in Black.
Cars used to be a way to let people know you were cool, or in the case of your friend's dad, to let people know you were having a midlife crisis. And in recent years, one of the coolest cars you could buy was the Tesla. Not only was it a status symbol, but it was electric. It was like a compost bin that you could drink and drive in. For a while, Tesla's stock price was skyrocketing, but now it's sliding down like half of Mitch McConnell's face.
The numbers are in, and Tesla has fallen short of expectations. Elon Musk's electric vehicle company releasing its first quarter earnings, showing its biggest revenue drop in over a decade in the first 3 months of the year, car sales dropping 8.5%, adding to a plummeting stock price that so far this year has gone down over 40%.
Holy shit! Down 40%? The only thing worth less than Tesla stock is a fully grown adult at P. Diddy's house. Stop it! That's the least of the problems. But don't worry, Tesla owner. Elon Musk has a perfectly reasonable, dumb as f**k explanation for this.
We should be thought of as an AI robotics company. If you value Tesla as just like an auto company, you would just have to fundamentally, it's just the wrong framework.
Sorry, Elon, my mistake. All this time I thought your company that sold cars was a car company. God, one of us must be a real f***ing idiot. So Tesla's clearly in the shitter, and the thing that was supposed to save it was the Cybertruck, a vehicle that looks like what happens when you inbreed DeLoreans. But unfortunately, the Cybertruck appears to be cyber
Tesla recalling its entire fleet of Cybertrucks, nearly 4,000 in all. The company says the accelerator pedal could get stuck, causing the pickup to unintentionally speed up, risking a crash.
Well, remember, it's not a car crash, it's an AI crash. Open your mind, man. Seriously, though, you recalled all of them? None were okay? Even with the Baldwins, they made one good one. I'm not going to say which one. I don't want to get shot. And this is just the... And this is just the latest problem with RoboCop's wagon, because that thing's been shit in the bed since day one.
We've gotten a lot of tales of malfunction. So, for example, vehicles dying after traveling just 1 mile.
The stainless steel vehicles are quickly showing signs of rust.
One guy sharing how the drive-through car wash was too much for the Tesla Cybertruck. He doesn't know what happened, but says the owner's manual does say you should never wash your car in sunlight.
A Tesla Cybertruck had to be rescued by a Ford pickup after the Tesla got stuck in the mud and snow on a road in the Sierras south of Lake Tahoe.
Oh, fancy Cybertruck had to get rescued by the big tough Ford. You're the laughingstock of all the other trucks. That Ford pickup's probably banging your wife right now, you Cybercuck. Plus, what use is a truck if it can't off-road? That's like a sex doll with no holes. Now, I just seem weird having it on my couch. And this car isn't just failing its owners, it's trying to eat them.
Cybertruck users are reporting injuries from the automatic trunk.
Everybody's been waiting for this, the finger. Without further ado,
I'm closing the Cybertruck. I'm gonna put my finger flat right here and see what happens. Ready, ready, ready?
Okay. Oh my God.
Okay, I can't even move my finger right now. I might have actually broken it.
Good. Good, because I'm Team Cybertruck on this one. You morons had it coming. Do us all a favor. Save us from another generation of Cybertruck drivers. Stick your balls in there, too. Luckily, I still have all my fingers, so I can deliver this message to Elon on behalf of Tesla stockholders. Unlike AI, this is pretty straightforward. So is this one. Jordan?
Lewis Black, everybody. When we come back, Matt Damon.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is an award-winning actor and producer of the critically acclaimed documentary about U2 and the Bosnian War called Kiss the Future. Please welcome Matt Damon.
Everybody like that.
This movie is—it's remarkable. A story I hadn't heard of. It follows the siege of Sarajevo.
Yeah.
And sort of the art community that sprang out of it, and also the ways in which U2 was sort of used as a touchstone to pull people together at that time. I wonder what compelled you to tell this story.
Well, I had the same reaction. Somebody told me the story, and it was so incredible. And we had this great director, Nenad Chichen-Şahin, who was from there and who came in and talked to us about it. And I just wanted to help get the story out there and get it, because it's such a beautiful story and ultimately about light winning, triumphing over dark, you know? So,
yeah.
And these people in Sarajevo who were just so resilient, but used music as like an act of defiance and resistance in the middle of these horrible circumstances. And I just found it just a beautiful story. So I'm a producer on it. It's like a documentary. It's not my normal kind of thing to do, but it was something I wanted to put out there for people to see.
Yeah, I think it's remarkable in watching war-torn Sarajevo, and you see people they talk about dodging bullets and sniper fire so they can go listen to music in a basement. How like normalcy is so important to them, just to feel like they're connected to something. There's moments in there where it's like, I wish we could just like airlift Taylor Swift and dropped her in Ukraine just to sort of find some peace. It feels very modern in that way.
That might be the answer to everything, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah. She can figure it out. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But it is that, you know, the movie really covers all of these lives of these Sarajevans who really came to that conclusion, reflecting on life and what is life really. And and actually it was worth risking their lives to go to gather so that they could listen to music or play music or just be together. And that bonded them and strengthened their community and that resilience. And, you know, as Bono said in that little clip there, it was carrying on with their lives was a way of saying, you know, you're not beating us, you're not defeating, you will not take our lives from us. You can kill me, but you still won't take this from me. There's a great photo in there that we have of one of these punk rock drummers who lost his hand on the front lines, and there's a picture of him with his drumstick duct taped to his arm,
yeah,
in place of where, you know, where his hand was, and he's playing like death metal, like, yeah, come on, you know, like you're not going to take music away from me, you know, and It's just a beautiful, the stories are really incredible, and the people that we got a lot of footage from the Sarajevans who were there, and so, you know, there's a wedding in the middle of, like, all these real moments that were really happening amidst this siege.
I think they sort of articulate that with the wedding, the scene in the wedding, under all of this chaos, and again, it's hard to watch this and not see the images you're seeing on news as well, but then to see people go through a wedding. Walking through war-torn areas and just finding those moments of joy, and you really see joy as an act of resistance in
right.
those moments.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
This movie also follows again this U2 concert in Sarajevo and sort of the conversation around U2 a little bit, and they're sort of looked at in some ways as a way that art can shine through. It can find a beacon for people, a way out. I'm curious, as an artist yourself, what were touchstones for you? Clearly, you didn't grow up in war-torn Boston, from my understanding. but I'm wondering, as an artist and a creator, like finding those touchstones that make you feel connected to something larger, what do you see when you watch and produce a film like that?
Well, I feel, look, I mean, I was in Australia last year looking at cave art that was 18,000 years old, and just that very human impulse that we have to tell stories to each other. And it's a way to kind of tell somebody another perspective, right? And if you know, for filmmaking, if you can put people in other people's shoes, that builds empathy and compassion. And as, you know, Edge says in that, yeah, there really are these legitimate dark forces that are trying to divide us, and you see that a lot in politics. You see that a lot, and what art and music and film does, hopefully, is it's a bulwark against that, and an attempt to kind of bridge those divides and keep these communities together.
Do you feel tension as somebody as a creator and a producer? Like, we're in such partisan times, such political times, and selling political ideas is not the easiest sell as it used to be. People don't want to go near that as far as producing things that might have a larger political agenda. But you also are balancing having a platform in such a difficult time. Like, what do you see as you are moving forward and making things? How do you see the art that you want to produce and to be a part of?
Well, I think whatever it is you're making, your heart has to be in it, and you have to feel like it's, look, even if it's a movie that isn't overtly political, if it's about building understanding about the, you know, if you can watch a movie that has no relation to your life and be affected by the characters, then that's one little small bit of evolution, you know, and we're bombarded by all of the, you know, I mean, you're forced to sit through it because you got to write jokes about it. But it really is kind of an assault on your senses, and it's constantly telling you that we're different and we're divided and we're split. And I think movies like this and other films can kind of call bullshit on that idea. Mm-hmm. Say we're actually a lot closer than we think, mm-hmm. or than we're told.
Yeah. I mean, there's a final quote in this movie that's a poignant one. They wonder whether we need that concert more today than we needed it in 97.
Yeah, that was one of the Sarajevans said that, which was really, and that's why Nenad decided to close the movie with it, because it is, you do see a lot of parallels to all over the world to what was happening there. And so again, it ultimately is really an uplifting movie because it's beautiful to watch, you know, these people and what they did and how they overcame their situation. The band and what, you know, incidentally, the band was their one, kind of, they were reluctant at first just because they didn't want to make a U2 movie. They said, mm-hmm. no, we don't want to. And we were like, no, you know, we're going to put the Sarajevans in the center of this. And that's when they, so they gave us all of this footage. And the concert at the end that they play is, it was the first time that 50,000 people gathered, and they were on different sides of this conflict, mm-hmm. and they gathered and just listened to music together. And the movie's called Kiss the Future because Bono, when he started this concert, he grabbed the microphone and he said, "F the past, kiss the future." And so that's why we call the movie Kiss the Future, because that was the, yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful movie.
Thanks.
I knew they came in more now than ever before. Kiss the Future is now available to stream exclusively on Paramount+. Matt Damon. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
That's our show for tonight. Tune in tomorrow when your host will be Jon Stewart. Now here it is, your moment of fame.
Did you bring up
yes,
the dog?
Yes, enough,
with Trump?
Stewart.
With Trump? Did you
this
bring
interview
up the dog
is
with
ridiculous,
Trump?
What you were doing right now.
I don't
so you
so.
Need to stop. It is.
Okay.
It is.
We'll
Let's
stop.
Talk about some real topics that Americans care about.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh, well, of course we are.
We do thank you for being with us.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.